Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for the Higher Dimensions. Welcome to our show. Tonight, we're going to have one of those shows with me and me alone to chat with you and see what we can do about talking to you about past life regressions. I can give you some ideas for those of you who haven't listened in before on how to look into and find out what your own past lives are and see what you can learn about yourself and the relationships with people around you. I also will do past life regressions on the phone tonight, live. If you call in, I'll be glad to give you such readings. Basically, there are a number of ways that you can learn about your past lives, and there are many clues in your life if you're aware of them. But before I tell you this, I want to say congratulations to a brand new little baby, Taylor, who was born this afternoon in Anne Arundel Hospital in Annapolis, Maryland. She was born through hypnobirthing, and I was a facilitator for that. Mom and baby are doing well, and Dad is walking on air, and Grandmom is just as proud as she can be. And I think the baby has temporary loss of sight because of all the pictures that were taken of her just moments after she was born. So I want to congratulate them again, the Taylor family, and welcome to our world, baby Taylor. And I am so delighted that it was a wonderful experience for Mom and all concerned. Hypnobirthing is something we have discussed before, and we mentioned it briefly last week. And it's a wonderful process. And if you can, we can avoid, or the mom can avoid having medication, it's so much better for the baby. In this instance, we did have to have a little medication because Mom was experiencing some health issues, and so she needed to have the baby come a little earlier than the planned arrival. But everything turned out well. But hypnobirthing is an absolutely wonderful process, and anyone who has a family member who's going to have a baby, I urge you to look into hypnobirthing, and I particularly am proud to say that I've learned the Mongan method of hypnobirthing, which is absolutely fabulous. It is really wonderful and was started by a wonderful nurse who has spent years getting this particular method accepted by the medical establishment. And it is just absolutely wonderful. So, having said my piece and my PR bit for a wonderful method of bringing new babies into the world, let me talk about past life regressions. There are any number of ways to find out about your past. Very often we bring, as Walt Whitman said, trails of glory with us when we are born on this earth plane. Many of our likes and dislikes come with us. Edgar Cayce said that if one has an unusual birthmark, one can be fairly sure that it was gained somehow through an experience we went through in another lifetime. For example, someone who was born with a strawberry mark, which is a red patch, a regular patch usually, on the face or a part of the body, may well have suffered from a burn in a prior lifetime. And the scar of that burning is carried through as a strawberry or red birthmark in this lifetime. Other scars can be, for example, when I was young, there were three triangular scars on my back that were very much like bullet holes. And in a past life regression, I found out that indeed I had died in a lifetime from being shot in the back, and there were three small bullet holes. Clustered close together, birthmarks that I had. So that was another indication. It's not being scared by somebody, which is what the wives' tales were, although I think they were coming close to it when they said if you were frightened by a wives' tale, but I think it's really they did not have the knowledge of an awareness that it was a scar from a traumatic event. So if there is any kind of a scar, you know, you might want to look at it and have it examined or get a good view of it and kind of meditate on where that possible scar could have come from, what shape is it, it is, that type of thing, and see if you get any impressions about that birthmark. And now we're not just talking about perhaps a wart or something like that, but we're talking about something that is on the skin as a old-fashioned birthmark. That is one way. Another way is, what are we drawn to as children? What games, what foods, what colors, what people interest us? Some come with distinct food likes and dislikes that are often associated with a culture. Children, for example, that were tracked by one famous author, and I can't remember his name, I'm a little punch drunk right now, I'm a little tired, but had done research on children who were born in India who claimed to remember their past lives, and this author went over there and talked to the children who claimed to have been born before, especially those who said they remembered a village and a particular family that they were born into, and being taken to that village, one little boy walked in and said, "This woman was my wife, and she was my child, and what are you doing with my things?" to another, because they remembered very clearly a recent life that they had, and there were still living relatives. And the boy was able to identify his own items and things about the family members he could not possibly have known. And part of it was he was with a different caste this time, and he refused to eat the kind of food that was prepared by the family in this lifetime. So that was a definite memory, because he had a definite food, foods that he ate in one religious life that were not accepted in this new one. So that was another tip-off. So again, one can look into a past life by the foods that one likes, by a particular mode of dress, a style, also through dreams that you might have. Very often, former lifetimes are expressed in dreams, and you can gain much information by simply writing down your dreams. And I do recommend this as a really interesting way and insightful way to gain information about who you were, again, some of your likes and dislikes, even some fears and phobias, if they are not directly related to an event in this lifetime, can tell you much about another lifetime you may have lived at one time, like an extreme fear of knives, for example, or a fear of snakes could indicate a lifetime lost through a stabbing. Could have been a sword instead of a knife, but close enough. Or being bitten by a snake, that type of thing. So again, looking into your own life experiences, what did you like to play? What games did you like to play in your imagination as a child, besides cowboys and Indians? Or maybe it was cowboys and Indians. If anyone wants to call in for a reading, I do recommend that indeed you do call in, and I will be glad to give you a past lifetime reading during this hour show. Typically, when we have another lifetime in a dream world, some of it will seem different than our normal dreams. It might be more vivid. It might feel very, very familiar to us. Sometimes just the dress that you're wearing is different than what you would wear now would be a tip-off about a lifetime. And that, again, is something you look for. It might also be when you go traveling sometime, if you go to a particular state or country or town that you've never been before, all of a sudden you get this feeling of deja vu, that, geez, I've been here before. That also is a good indicator that you might have been there. Not necessarily, because, again, you might have seen it or had somebody describe it very well, or your family members that may have come from there, so you might have that kind of a memory of that particular place. But if you walk into an area where you've really never been before, and you kind of know, like a building, say, geez, I know what that room was for, and I know what's beyond that hallway, etc., there's a good chance that indeed you were in a lifetime where you were at that building or that scene at some point, and you are having memory stirred. Now, some people believe that there isn't a past life, that it's maybe just a collective unconscious memory, and you've just sort of picked up on somebody else's memory and decided to make it your own. That can happen too, but I think people have a fairly good sense of who and what they are, and I think they have enough interest in their own life and in many lifetimes, as I believe we do have, that they don't necessarily pick up somebody else's life. Now, there are those who may have, for example, died by being burned at the stake and then kind of think that maybe they were Joan of Arc, which is why we might have a number of Joan of Arcs running around, especially those who would identify with that type of martyrdom, shall we say, or persecution. And in that case, because of the similarity in life and burnings, and they may even have known or been a part of the lifetime with Joan of Arc, might identify themselves with such a person because of the association or because of the similarity of a lifetime in which they may have been burned to death, perhaps for their religion. And so, again, it's not always an absolute indicator, but it is a pretty good sound one that you may have had something very much in common with someone famous. Now, with all the lifetimes we live, some of our lifetimes are going to be more dramatic than others. Most of the times, we have lifetimes which, from a historical perspective, are really not that exciting, shall we say, because we're not always in an optimum. There are lifetimes where we achieve great spiritual growth, and it may be a lifetime in which one is simply a farmer or a government functionary or a merchant or a sea captain, whatever, and what they have done are hone those exquisitely beautiful skills that we all look for and call the gifts of the spirit in some instances, and qualities of soul of kindness, compassion, wisdom, understanding. You can be a highly spiritual person and not do anything outstanding in this earth plane, but just be yourself and being the best human being you can be. And that's where we have a lot of spiritual growth. There are also many lifetimes that we come in and we don't have anything really grand planned. These are the quieter lifetimes. These are what I call the resting lifetimes, where you come in and you have a very pleasant life and you just enjoy your life and where you are, and you have a very pleasant lifetime and you don't experience any great suffering and so forth and so on, and you don't impose great suffering on another person, but you just happen to have a nice lifetime. And these are the resting lifetimes that we earn, because not all lifetimes have to be geared to great spiritual growth. There are those reward or resting lifetimes that we can enjoy and which are very, very pleasant when we agree to be with others and just accompany them and they us in just being around each other and supporting each other as we go through that lifetime. And yet again, there are other lifetimes which are highly important, where we may be just, as I call it, one of the maddening crowd. There's someone I do know who's had a former lifetime as one of the members of Genghis Khan. He was just one of the foot soldiers, or horse soldiers, I should say, because, of course, they were famous horseback riders and famous cavalrymen, very, very talented. But he was appalled to find out, when he became conscious, of the kind of life he led as a member of that invading horde. And it was absolutely fascinating to listen to him. And he is such a wonderful person in this lifetime, a very gentle person, very kind person, very thoughtful of others, but he's rather shy. He doesn't like to push himself forward and draw attention to himself. But in that lifetime, he was very much forward and, you know, rode in battle and, you know, made a great hoo-ha, so to speak, and caused great suffering. And so in other lifetimes, he has taken the opportunity to learn how to act and how to treat others. And we've done several lifetimes, and you can see, if you get a chance to work with people over a period of time, or even work with your own past lives, how you grow and evolve from one lifetime to another. That a skill that may be just scratching the ground, just beginning to learn in one lifetime, may be developed to a high degree. For example, someone may come in and have several lifetimes in which they're involved with music, maybe perhaps singing, okay, or maybe as a woodcutter, but who enjoys music. Maybe in another lifetime they do cabinetry and whittling. Maybe in another lifetime they come in and they are an instrument maker, so that the lifetime of love of music and a lifetime of, say, carpentry work, they may end up becoming a violin maker or a pipe or a harp maker. There are any number of ways that one can use the qualities that one builds up in different lifetimes in different ways. But almost always we utilize those gifts we have built in the past. Good evening. Welcome to a higher dimension. May I help you?
Thank you, Phyllis. I was listening to your talk on past life regressions, and that's something that is very interesting to me.
Okay. With whom am I speaking?
My name is Anne.
Hi, Anne, and where are you from?
I'm up in Ontario, Canada.
How wonderful. What a beautiful country.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so glad. I just love that. I would love to visit one day. I intend to do so in all my joyous glory.
Well, you're coming into the right season. Now's the time.
Oh, I just love the upper northern area of the United States and northern hemisphere. Let me get that, okay? Well, how may I help you this evening, or do you have some comments? I would always enjoy that.
Well, I was just wondering if there was anything you could tell in my particular case.
Okay.
I have a lot of interesting dreams. And,
okay.
I guess I've always thought that, I know there's many different types of dreams.
Go ahead. Yes, you're absolutely right.
The ones I thought I've had, well, some seem like I'm astral traveling.
You are. You do travel astrally, yes, ma'am. That is very true. We all do, to a certain extent. Some are much more aware of it than others. But good for you, yes, okay?
I've had other dreams. I seem to have, not all the time, but certain thematic kind of dreams.
All right, those are very, very interesting. Can you give me an idea of what you mean?
Relationships, but relationship dreams, but with a real common kind of theme to them, not like a typical dream, very vivid, usually very metaphorical, sometimes with music.
Oh, that's wonderful. What type of music is it? Is it a particular cultural? Is it sound otherworldly? What?
You know, I wouldn't say it's certainly not what I would consider new agey at all.
Okay.
It's definitely not music I've ever heard. It's not peculiar. It's actually very, you know, I don't want to say Perry Como, but you know, it's nothing
okay.
that I would call modern. Not modern.
Not rock and roll.
not my music, and nothing that I have heard. So
okay.
that's what makes it even more peculiar.
Okay.
But I was just wondering, because it always seems to be a message for me, just messages which I always write down. Sometimes there's even numerology thrown in, like we'll be talking about a certain time, and like meet me at 1:36. Well, who meets anybody at 1:36, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You meet somebody at 1:36.
Depends of AM or PM, darling.
Well, I would assume it would be in the PM, because otherwise I would say I'm not meeting you at 1:36.
Now, do you find any of these dreams precognitive? In other words, that they come true?
Can you say that again, please?
Do any of these dreams appear to be precognitive? That means, do they come true? In other words,
well,
do you
not
find?
Yet.
Hmm?
Not yet, but almost like each dream is sort of a clue to the next one. It's like if you just kind of sit back and analyze it, you can kind of see that it's going somewhere.
Okay.
But I was just wondering, by the same token, as this, you know, since they're about relationships, if this may have something to do with past life.
Okay. Part of my feeling is that, and here's a different sense. This is very interesting. My feeling is that you are actually making appointments to meet people on another level, on another dimension. And you are pre-setting an appointment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that you are actually, in many instances, meeting someone during your sleep time. And you are carrying some of a conscious memory of it into your waking hours. Number two, times and numbers are very, very important, okay? Especially if the numbers are repeated, like at 2:22.
Right, right.
Okay, and you say you're somewhat familiar with numerology, is that correct?
Yes, I wouldn't say an advanced level, but I certainly have more than a basic understanding.
Okay, and again, I would suggest that some of this is, my feeling is I'm getting an overlay one another. It's just like I'm looking at through several different levels at the moment, okay? I'm now seeing times flashing in front of my eyes. 1:36 is certainly an odd time to meet somebody, for example, okay?
Yeah.
Look at what the numbers add up to. 1, 3, and 6.
Mm-hmm. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
That adds up to 10. What is that? It's a number for God.
Hmm.
Okay? It's a symbol of completion, of a cycle, and going back to the number one, to a new beginning.
Wow.
Okay? So this is, as I said, sometimes it's adding the numbers together and realizing that they are telling you something, and they're setting it up in such a way that your conscious mind won't bypass it, all right, that it will come through. Writing down your dreams is excellent, and you seem to think that they are, and you seem to have tracked that there are indeed consistent themes in your dreams.
Correct.
Okay. This is a very good level of dreaming, okay? This is a wonderful one because you can write down sometimes before you go to sleep, if you have a dream that is really particularly seeming to speak to you and you want to know what it is, when you go to sleep, you can call the dream to mind before going to sleep and ask your higher self to please provide explanation for it, or to give you a clue so you could pursue it more carefully, especially since you keep feeling that you're getting messages from Garcia, so to speak, okay,
mm-hmm.
that you feel driven enough that there is a message that you're not quite getting. And always, it's, you know, God isn't in your higher self and everyone else isn't up there saying, how can we drive the human beings crazy? I know. Let's give them dreams they will never figure out.
Well, you know, I can never figure them out right away, but it's, you know, and I'll tell you what, writing them down means everything because you go back a week or two later.
Yes.
And you have a whole different perspective on it. And
absolutely.
Things do really seep in.
Certainly. And this is what I do recommend that you do. But you can ask for enlightenment on your dreams, okay, of the higher self. That's perfectly good. And sometimes when you do that consistently, you will find your dreams becoming less symbolic over a period of time and more easily understood.
Actually, over time, they are becoming, they're still symbolic a little bit, but not nearly so much as they used to be. It seems to be becoming a little more down to earth.
Okay, because you are being aware of them and you are paying attention and you are giving that. So what have you found out on your own in discovering this? What have you found that is one of the main themes that you are being led to consider on a frequent basis?
I guess it's not something that I'm trying to want to believe. I mean, it seems to be what I'm getting is that I'm going to meet up with someone from the past who could very well be my twin soul. I don't know.
Okay, and that's very valid. Okay? I think that is very valid.
Are there really such things as twin?
Yeah, there were in the beginning. There are souls that did split, okay? There are souls that decided to evolve by splitting and sharing and each one going and seeking experiences that were just basically souls which came from one central soul, although we are all connected, okay? But there is that issue that comes by, and for the greater good and learning purposes, each soul has decided to come up and gather its own soul, and you can meet other souls that way. And there are other souls who, and there's not just one in a lifetime, you understand, okay? There's not just one in a lifetime.
So there is not one perfect twin. I'm not talking...
For example, it could be your mother.
Right.
Okay.
I thought that there was a difference between twins and soulmates.
Well, you can have a number of soulmates.
Correct.
Sometimes there's more than one twin soul, so to speak. It might be triplet. And a lot of times it's very hard to differentiate because in the end, we are all part of each other.
That's what I thought. And we're all bringing
information back to our central source and to share with each other.
Yeah.
If your dream is advising you this and pushing you in this particular direction, then I would say you are indeed preparing yourself for this meeting.
It seems to be. It's getting very intriguing.
Okay.
It's almost
and
like
this has been going on for a while?
It's been going on, I would say, since last October.
Okay. And it's as though you're getting ready to meet this person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like there were tribulations and hurdles, and it just seems like over time the blocks and the obstacles are somewhat being removed, and it's like a soap opera almost, but without the drama, you know.
Isn't that interesting?
By the way,
have you considered writing that as a story?
Well, I've been writing it down, and, you know, sometimes I go back and, you know, first I just write down the facts because I just want to get it down as the best I can remember it.
Uh-huh.
And then I do go back and, you know, try and make it sound more like a real dialogue and not just, you know.
Well, what I'm hearing is you may be writing a book in your dream as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. Do you know, have you ever heard of the author, Taylor Caldwell?
What? Caldwell?
Taylor Caldwell, woman.
I've heard of that name.
Yes, she wrote Dear and Glorious Physician and a few other books. she would dream about past lives, and she wrote them as stories. She's a very famous woman.
Yeah,
wonderful stories, by the way. Wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to understand whether this is something interdimensional or whether this is something past life, and maybe
it could really be both.
Pardon me?
It can be both.
Yeah, and I guess the real question is, does it matter? Does it really matter?
It is if you want to write about it.
Yeah.
But does it matter? Sure. If there weren't a purpose and a reason to it, you wouldn't be dreaming it, my dear.
Yeah.
There's seldom anything that happens to us or comes to our attention that we aren't supposed to that we are supposed to ignore.
Yeah.
It's always a good reason. For some reason, as you were talking, I got a very, very strong impression that even should this come true in real life, okay, I think it makes a fabulous story.
Yes, it does.
And what a fun thing to write about.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's like I said, the very last dream I had, which was just a couple weeks ago, we sort of ended up in a boat together, and cruising off in a boat with this thematic music, and I wake up and I'm just thinking, I must be out of my mind having dreams like this.
No. I would say, my dear, that you are actually being led to write a story, a love story, through dreams. And one that perhaps you wouldn't write unless it came to you the way it did.
Well, you know what? You have a point there, because I really do love to write. I mean, that is a passion. So it's always been just for me, but...
Okay.
But I guess...
My suggestion is that you do start considering it and see if the quality of your dream now changes.
Yeah.
If it becomes more stepped up.
You know, that, and that's something I never thought of. If for no other reason, maybe it will actually rev things up here.
Yes, and I think it would be a bestseller. I think it would resonate.
So I shouldn't worry so much about the past life thing and
No, because quite frankly, worry doesn't do anything but give us wrinkles.
Oh yeah, I don't mean worry so much.
I know what you mean, sweetie.
Yeah, just kind of.
But I'm just simply saying my feeling is that you should write it down, because from either perspective, one, it's anticipatory, it's a positive one. It's one that's bringing you joy and laughter and hope, which is very positive all the way around, all positive signs, okay? And on the other, it's a darn good story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating. I mean, this is the stuff of Oprah Winfrey, right? So look at it. And now that you've got it in your mind, sit back and back, ask yourself before you go to sleep tonight, is this what this is for? Is my higher consciousness writing a story, a love story for me to tell? And I bet you will get the answer yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there will be some real truth in it as well. You know, it'd be nice.
There is real truth in it.
Pardon me?
Anything that begins, remember, anything that we see manifested on this earth plane first began in our awareness, in our spiritual or our soul. Awareness. Everything begins there. And wouldn't it just be fabulous if you wrote this love story and then met the man you wrote the story about?
Yeah, that would be pretty exciting.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, Phyllis, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I think what a wonderful gift this was for you to call tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, I hope you'll call in again. I love talking to people.
Okay.
And as I said, my feeling was just to tell you, please, please write your book.
Okay.
It's a very important piece.
Well, you know what? Just the idea that this could really even perpetuate more is a good enough reason.
Well, good. And you know what? You can have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And fun is something we just don't have a lot of, some of us, especially in some of the world issues that we all face at this point.
Yeah, you know, you're so right about that.
This kind of romantic novel would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is one way to do what your soul would like you to do. Maybe if you had it, you would put off writing it if it came through normal channels. But this is your soul's way of getting around your conscious guard and encouraging you to do something that is one of your soul talents.
Yeah.
Do for other people.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you so much, Phyllis.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll continue to listen, and we'll talk to you again.
Absolutely.
And make sure you call me and let me know how things come around, okay?
I will do that. Absolutely.
I would love to know.
I'll give you an update.
Thank you, darling.
As soon as I
get one.
All right.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Anybody else that would like to call in, please feel free. We do have some more time. Now, one of the ways that I find absolutely fascinating, I think it's, I just can't wait for that young lady to call me back again and find out the rest of the story on this one. I think this is just so cool. Way cool. I'm excited. I want to read the next chapter of her book. At any rate, one of the ways that I have suggested before is one of the ways I learned from the Rosicrucians in a book written by Joseph Weed many years ago. And that is, if you want to see some of your own past lives in a waking while you are in a conscious awareness, is to get off by yourself in a darkened room. So find a place where you won't be disturbed. It doesn't have to be a dark, dark room, but in a room that's quiet and not so full of sunlight, etc., because that usually is not conducive to a total relaxation. And just light one candle. I would say white. Why white? Because white reflects more light. It has nothing to do with superstition or evil or anything else. And by the way, I do not have a whole lot of concerns about being attacked by evil spirits or darkness or anything, because quite frankly I just don't entertain and give it energy. Good evening. Welcome to the higher dimension. May I help you?
Yes, hi Phyllis. I was hoping you could help me. Can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
My name's Lynn.
Hi Lynn, and where are you from?
I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, how wonderful. Tonight must be my Canadian night.
Oh, is the last caller Canadian as well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
So how may I help you, my dear?
Well, I was hoping you could give me a suggestion on dreaming. So maybe something I could do before I go to sleep. I'm finding my dreams are actually far too vivid, far too graphic, and almost disturbing.
All right. Graphic and vivid in what way, my dear? Talk to me.
Pardon?
In what way? Give me a
for Well, for example, let's see. I mean, if you were to see blood in your dream, you wouldn't want to see it almost glistening. Or if I had a dream where I was sticking my hands down a girl who had been poisoned. I was trying to get her to vomit because she'd been poisoned.
Right.
And I could feel her teeth on my hand as I was doing this. So, I mean, I find that my dreams are very, very vivid and very sensory.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's a way that I can dull it a little bit, because
mm-hmm.
it's almost too much.
Okay. Okay. A couple of things. Do you... Let me tune in here now. Hold on. I'm getting a couple of visuals here, so I'm not sure which shoe is going to fit, because the first thing that I heard in my mind, well, she's helping people, okay?
Okay.
That you are indeed on another level and plane, helping people who are suffering. Now, it is not that unusual for those souls who are of a higher or older genre, shall we say, to, during the hours when we are supposedly sleeping, to help others. All right? We also can move into another dimension. This period of time that we are in, the veil between this dimension and other dimensions, is indeed thinning and tearing so that we can move back and forth between them, okay?
Okay.
So I'm getting several hits here. What I'm hearing it said is that when you have dreams like this that are so vivid, you are indeed on another level helping another person who is in pain and suffering. And you are almost like a physician.
Oh.
Okay. That you are indeed, and you are having what we call a bleeding through from one dimension to another, where you are aware in your conscious level of work that you've been doing before, but it just didn't come through. There was the waking life, and then there was the dream life, okay? Or the alternate reality, if you want to call it that, though I wouldn't call it that. I would call it a different dimension. All right? We go on to more than one dimension at a time. There are those who, souls who live here on this earth, when there are tremendous accidents, shall we say, or tremendous acts of violence or trauma, the souls here at night, while you're sleeping, while you're resting, whenever, do move to where other souls have been injured and hurt and help them pass from this life to the next. We're like angels of mercy helping traumatized souls. It's a part of our compassionate work. And as we do other work, we are also bound to continue doing work here. Sometimes people have an awareness of being around a battlefield and helping souls who are suffering. And you are indeed doing some work of this nature on another plane of existence, which is why. And it is bleeding through to your conscious level. Now, you can make a decision, because I don't think you're going to make a decision not to help others.
No,
you can make a decision
that
you don't retain such a vivid awareness of it, if you so desire.
Yeah, I mean, if I can continue to help people, obviously that's,
okay.
You know, that's the passion
of mine. Does that seem to resonate within you?
Now that you mention it, yeah. Because a lot of these pains and sufferings aren't mine in the dream.
That is correct. You are indeed helping others who are elsewhere. Okay? You're one of the ministering angels, you see. And if you do not wish to have a conscious awareness of it, just ask your higher self for the time being to draw the veil back down if you wish. Or you can continue and grow in that way and become more aware of what you are doing.
I'll try that. But like I said, since you put in that light, maybe I won't be so disturbed by what I'm seeing.
No, because what you are doing, as I said, and I was seeing several scenes, and one of them was that you are indeed helping others in an alternate reality. You are moving into areas where people have been injured and have no other help. Okay?
Well, okay.
And that's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
No wonder you're exhausted when you get up in the morning sometimes. Right?
Yeah, it's true.
You get up and you feel like, man, I've been drawing through an awful hole backwards.
Yep, absolutely.
Very
interesting.
That's when you're up all night doing work like that, you use a lot of psychic energy, a lot of energy, and you will feel it, my dear. Trust me on this one. You will feel such work. but it is also something you have agreed to do to help others. And it is a wonderful thing that you are doing. But you don't have to, if it's distressing you unduly, you don't have to be aware of it if you don't wish. And that you can have control over by saying, yeah, either I'd like to continue this for my own soul's growth and become more aware and have a greater understanding of what you're doing and where you're doing it, and for informational purposes, for whatever reason that you would like to know. And that's wonderful too. But if it's really costing you emotionally, then there shouldn't be a heavy emotional cost to it, okay?
Okay.
And it may be that from now on you may or may not, depending on whether or not this is supposed to be brought to your conscious attention, that this is what you are doing, it may be that that was enough for you to come to this awareness, and you may continue to do the work but not be aware of it, or you may be continuing to be aware and to grow more in that arena. Because a lot of people would like to know what it is exactly they're doing when they're not in the body. And it drives them crazy. They wake up in the morning and say, I know I did something, but what the damn hell was it? You know? And the thing is, you don't have to pay for any airline tickets. You know what I mean? And no passport.
That's true.
But you are doing a great deal of good on another level, yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. What a fun thing this is tonight. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't have dreamed this up if I wanted to. I just love doing this work. I hope you'll call again and let me know what goes around. And see if you can figure out and you get a greater answer. You might even jot some of this down so you can be aware of it and bring it up at a later date.
Yeah. Well, I find I'm keeping too much of it, so I'm watching people suffer and I'm keeping that when I wake up and just rehashing the dream over.
Well, so, what you can do is just also say some prayers for these loving people, because you have helped them already on one level. It can't hurt to continue to pray for them and send your healing energy, because you are helping them. You're almost a surgeon, and my feeling is you were a physician in another lifetime. Okay?
Okay.
And healing comes to you as a part of just breathing. It's just what you happen to do.
Right.
And you cannot tolerate to see someone suffering, am I right?
That's right.
So,
especially,
you know,
children.
Anybody who is suffering, you move to help, regardless.
Yep.
And so know that your soul is continuing on and doing the good work that you have done before and often. And your skills are being used. Even as you are learning different lessons here, you are still using those beautiful lessons and gifts that you've developed through this lifetime and others to relieve suffering where you are. Beautiful.
Well, wonderful. I appreciate that. I appreciate your help.
Well, you're the one who's doing the work, darling. I'm just reading the book. You wrote it. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Pleasant evening, my dear.
Thanks for having the show.
It made me feel so good. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. I would go back to looking up in a past life, as I said, in a darkened room at dusk, dawn, or just a dark gray day. Light a candle, put it on the left-hand side. I used to have a bedroom mirror, and I just hold my little boudoir chair in front of the mirror. And sit and look at my reflection. Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
To the higher dimension.
Thank you, Phyllis. This is Rosemary.
Hi, how are you, my dear?
I'm doing wonderful. Although,
where are you from, my dear?
Chicago.
Oh, Windy City.
Mm-hmm.
How
spring
is it today?
Spring is finally here.
Great.
Could
wonderful.
You give me some assistance. I'm having no problems with my memories, but it's like when I come back to waking consciousness, I know that I can do it, but I just can't seem to be doing it here.
You can't be doing what here?
Whatever, you know, the healing and the abilities that I'm going to school to learn.
Okay. So you feel you're going somewhere else to learn things at night?
Yes.
Like the university?
Absolutely.
Okay. this is really, really what you're remembering. I remember going through exactly that kind of training, my God, back in the 70s. Man, I was raising two kids. I had a full-time job. And here I was going to college at night in my dreams. You think I didn't drag my tail feathers? You betcha.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you are going to school at night.
Okay.
All right. There are. Now, this is a slightly different, and this is interesting. There are a couple of ways that this happens, okay? And there are several that I have heard about, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is going to a school. And you've heard of Wilbur, I'm trying to think of his name, Stribley, Wilbur Stribley?
Mm-hmm.
Have I got
heard
his name right? Stribley?
Yeah.
Okay. You're familiar with the UFO phenomenon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He talked about going places and learning things at night. And we do that. Okay? We do go to other places at night to learn for advanced learning. The part of our soul that it dwells in our body that we know here in our waking consciousness is only a part of our total soul. It's like a little portion of your fingernail being
mm-hmm.
considered your entire body. It isn't. It is just a tiny portion of who you are at any given time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you are indeed going on and learning at a higher university. What are you learning? Well, my sense is that you are learning how to meet future situations and how to deal with them. For some reason, my feeling is that you are learning some life lessons at the same time that you are here on the earth plane, and that in some of the lessons that you are learning there, you are able to implement or put into practice during your waking life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's different than what I sometimes get, okay? For you, that's what I'm feeling it is.
Okay.
On another level, it is my understanding that we can be accessing training on a level that is, shall we say, on learning how to deal with those who are from a different dimension, shall we say.
Oh, I've never, I mean, I was 9 years old and I looked up at the Bells of Orion and I said to the people who were my parents, I said, would you please help me to get home?
So you have had visitations since you were little?
Yeah, I've known that ever since I was little.
Okay.
And it's just
That's part of what you are learning as well. But I also believe that some of the lessons that you are taking now are going to be utilized here.
Okay, it's more of an integration. It's like the tone healing that I know how to do, but I don't quite have it quite accurate. But I know that tone
mm-hmm.
and
it's
sound...
It's sort of like for you, in some ways, it's like an orientation course.
Yeah.
A brush-up
mm-hmm.
of what is known.
Yeah, that's it, the brush-up thing. Thank you. Oh, kiss your toes.
Okay. Yeah, you're kind of relearning what you already know, and
okay.
and how to use it. It's an reorientation course.
Okay.
And that is so that you are able to work with people in the future, and that future is not that far distant, my dear.
Oh, thank you. I get to take the training wheels off the bicycle.
Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly. You think that's wonderful. Yeah. That was my feeling, is that you are doing some brush-up work, and it's very important. And that's also a sense of you really need to get this done, right?
Oh, there's a sense of absolute urgency.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't get urgent or impatient with God ever, but
mm-hmm.
this is close to it. More
yeah.
patient with, would you please learn this, implement it, keep it, make
I'm sorry,
it happen.
I can hardly hear you, dear.
It's like, will you please implement this, remember it,
yes.
and make it happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're learning somehow to remanifest, learning how to manifest again on this earth plane.
Ah.
To bring things about, what you want to have happen.
Okay, relearning manifestation. I was at a class with a wonderful person on manifesting.
Uh-huh.
And the blockage that came up was, at one time, I would just simply bow my head and pray, and whatever was needed would be there for the village and the people.
Absolutely, and that's a gift we all had, and we've forgotten it, and that's what was meant by alchemy, darling.
Mm-hmm. And we may see this coming again sometime
soon.
Oh,
yes, it's already here.
Oh, good.
We just have to acknowledge it. We have built layers of denial and illusion and delusion. Have you ever read the series written by Baird, B-A-I-R-D, Spalding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G, Wisdom of the Masters of the Far East?
Yes, I have it on my bookshelf.
Reread it.
Okay.
And believe it.
Well,
let it resonate in you. It tells you exactly how to manifest, darling. It tells you exactly how to do this.
Wow.
Okay?
I thank you.
And that's what you are going to do, and that's what you should be doing.
Well, I've always been drawn to these crazy inventor types, and we sit down and we look at it, and then we go, okay, and suddenly the answer just manifests.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is believing that it will. Okay?
Okay.
If you believe something will occur, it is going to occur. It has to occur because man was created for Earth to give him joy. We just have forgotten that. Okay?
Okay.
But manifestation is something that you are learning to do, and yes, I too am one of those who've forgotten, my dear. No, so don't feel like you're the only kid on the block who missed the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
We've been all things and done all things. And,
yes.
And we
yes.
want to just remember who we are and bring
right.
the joy back.
Yes, and bring about a revitalization, a renewal of that time of manifestation. Perfect, darling. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect.
Thank you for your assistance, and I think I'm going to go talk to some of my crazy inventor types.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. You've got to go forward with it. Say a prayer for me. I remember the mm-hmm. same lesson because I could use that in my life, as could you and everyone else.
It's a simple matter. Infinite Creator, that the daughter of light remember her heritage and her birthright.
Yes.
And all that is said and all that is done, let her remember that we are but one.
That's
and your
right.
grace is here now.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you. And
goodbye.
Thank you for calling, because you just put a memory tickler into my file that I should be doing that today. I didn't do it today. And I'm scolding me and saying, you've got to remember to do this every day, because that's how we bring it about.
Mm-hmm.
By making it a routine, just like breathing in and breathing out.
Mm-hmm.
And also remember, the key is expect it to happen.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay?
Expectation is a big part of manifestation. You do it believing, and that brings it about.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you again, because that's something I needed to remember as well.
Goodbye.
Thank you all very much. And I'm sorry, but we're almost out of time. I don't know that I will be able to finish my little lesson I was going to teach you all today about it. But wrapping it up quickly, you just light a candle, put it on your left, look in the mirror, and look into your own eyes for a little while. And don't blink, just look into your own eyes. And you should, after a little while, begin to see a normal lifetime beginning to appear in the mirror. I will be delighted to tell you more next week, and I thank you all so very much for sharing your evening with me, and to those who called in for sharing your stories with me and giving me this absolutely beautiful uplift to my day. Thank you all. God bless you. I am Phyllis Pricer. You have been listening to The Higher Dimensions. I look forward again to talking to you next week. God bless you all, and good night.